Well, so glad you're all here to seek the Lord together in His Word and with His people. And as we gather this morning to seek the Lord, how much of God do you want? I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a person different than me or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth of the womb, not a new birth. Well, Wilbur Ries wrote that in 1971, and it is still true today. How much of God do you want? In reaching out for God and seeking Him here this morning, you've come to the right place. When you feel like the demands of life are greater than your resources, you've come to the right place. When you feel like being the person that God wants you to be and that you want you to be is out of reach, you've come to the right place. For all the times you feel overwhelmed, for all the times you feel inadequate, for all the times that you feel like life is a tightrope walk without a net, you've come to the right place, seeking God. Jesus Christ has masterfully crafted a message to us. It's in the Bible. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has crafted this message to bring us step by step to a place of saying, I don't think I can do that. Jesus, I don't think I can get to where you want me to be. Jesus has given us a high personal standard, and that's where he starts this Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn over sin. Blessed are the meek and the merciful, and even those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And we read those Beatitudes and we think, I don't think I can get there. Jesus, I don't think I want to, but I don't think I can do it. That seems idealistic, not realistic. And then Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount to set a high standard for how we relate to other people. So it's not just enough to not murder others. I mean, that's good, don't murder. But Jesus says, you need to not even be angry with a person that's going to lead to murder. And it's not enough to just not commit adultery. Don't even lust after someone. And then Jesus sets a high standard in relating to himself, in giving, praying, fasting. And then he really gets personal in the Sermon on the Mount by telling us not to worry and not to have a critical, judgmental spirit. And by this point in Jesus' sermon, we should be saying, Jesus, I can't do that. I want to, but I can't get there. And that's exactly why Jesus gave us verses 7 through 11 of Matthew 7. That's exactly why he goes to the next section of the Sermon on the Mount. So let's look there in our Bibles, Matthew 7:7. And as we turn there, it might seem at first like Jesus has jumped to a new topic. I mean, it might seem like this part of the Sermon on the Mount is like a string of pearls. You know, they're not related to each other. But I submit that this is not a different topic at verse 7. That it is not a string of pearls, but that they are in fact related. I would suggest that Matthew 7:7 through 11 is a response to all that Jesus has already said, to how he has brought us along to this point. So I think Jesus meant us to feel overwhelmed and inadequate and under-resourced for life, but we don't like those feelings. And so we push them away and we try and dumb down Jesus' message to make it doable. But Jesus says, Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus says when you're feeling like you just can't do it, inadequate, overwhelmed, under-resourced, ask, seek, knock. When you don't have the inner strength you need to live for God, ask, seek, knock. When you can't seem to quit worrying and quit being judgmental, ask, seek, knock. When you keep struggling with your anger and your lust and with sacrificing yourself for others, ask, seek, knock. And when you just can't seem to be the person that God wants you to be and that you want you to be, ask, seek, knock. In fact, in the original Greek that Matthew was written in, these verbs are present imperatives. That means it's an ongoing thing. So ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's not that you get it one time. It's an ongoing life habit. Ask, seek, knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. So, in other words, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Admiral Perry attempted to reach the North Pole on 7 different trips before he finally reached it on the 8th. Thomas Edison tried 1,600 different materials before he landed on carbon as the filament for the electric light bulb. Willie Mays did not get a hit in his first 26 at-bats in the major leagues. Then on his 27th, he hit a home run. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. We have grave problems in our world. Jesus is the answer to the problems of our world. We, you and me, are the connection between Jesus' answer and the world's needs. How can we make a difference in this world? Ask, seek, knock. I have a theory about the Christian life, trying to live for Christ and live according to the Bible. I think it's both the easiest thing to do and the hardest thing to do. It's both easy and hard. It's easy because it's what God created us for. It's how God created us to work, and it's how God created the world to work. And so it's in keeping with His created order to live for Him and live according to the Bible. So it's easy in that sense. As the Bible says in Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter until the full day. It just keeps getting better and brighter. But living for God and according to the Bible is also the hardest thing to do because we have a sin nature inside of us and a sinful culture around us. And it resists walking with God and living for Him. And that's why Proverbs 4 goes on to say, not only is the path of the righteous like the light of dawn, but the way of the wicked lies in darkness. They don't even know what they stumble over. So living for God according to His word is both easy and hard. And that's true of most of life. Marriage is both easy and hard. It's easy because it's what God made us for, and because of the rewards of love and companionship. But it's hard because both husband and wife have a sin nature. Parenting is both easy and hard. It's easy because we love our kids. We want to do good for them. But it's hard because both parent and child have a sin nature. Being salt and light in our world, our decaying culture, it's both easy and hard. It's easy because God made us to be salt and light and because His Spirit empowers us. But it's hard because we have a sin nature and a sinful culture that resists our salt and light. So, what can we do in all these conflicted situations that we find ourselves in? Ask, seek, knock. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Don't give up on living for God. Don't give up on your marriage or on parenting or on being salt and light in our world. Don't give up on it. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Ask, seek, knock. This is good news because it's not a certain formula. It's not some certain formula you have to figure out with special words done in a special way. No, it's just plain, ordinary asking, seeking, and knocking. In one of the old Peanuts comic strips, Linus is in his room. His sister Lucy comes in. Linus says, "I think I've made a new theological discovery." Lucy, "What is it?" Linus says, "If you hold your hands upside down, you get the opposite of what you pray for." No, no, no. There's no certain formula, no ritual or special words or way to hold your hands. Just ask God. Just seek God. Just knock on His door. And asking, seeking, knocking is good news because it's not a certain level of attainment. It's not some certain level of attainment. Like you first have to qualify for major league praying, and then you can ask and receive and seek and find. No. No, there's no qualifying level, no fitness exam. Just ask God. Just seek God's wisdom and ways and just knock on God's door to bring Him into your life situations. And asking, seeking, and knocking is not a certain time and place. Like only in church or only when you feel spiritual or only when the planets align. No, no. It's anytime, anywhere, any way. Ask, seek, knock. That's how we get what we need for life, for family, for marriage, for the problems of the world. Ask, seek, knock. Ask God and keep on asking. Seek for God's truth and insight and keep seeking. Knock on God's door to meet with Him and learn from Him and get the direction and resources you need and keep on knocking. Now, we could look at each of these individually, ask, seek, knock. Asking implies some effort. It implies giving some thought to what you need and how to ask. It implies humility, being humble enough to know that you need something and go ask for it. But what about seeking? Seeking also implies effort. It implies a process. It implies intention. It implies taking time. It implies looking where you expect to find. I'm a poor looker, and my wife will tell you with some annoyance that that is true. But even I was a better looker than our kids when they were little. You know, you're ready to go to church, and where's your socks? I don't know. I can't find them. You walk in the room and there they are, right there. You know? So seeking implies some intention of looking, knowing what you're looking for, knowing where you expect to find it. Seeking. And the Bible has some of the greatest promises for those who seek the Lord. It's amazing. I love it. 2 Chronicles 15, if you seek Him, He will be found by you. Wow, that's a marvelous promise. It's not like God is, you know, trying to hide from us. He's saying, no, if you look for Me, you'll find Me. I'm right there. And Psalm 9, you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek You. Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Also Psalm 34, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Proverbs 28, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. Lamentations 3, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And Hebrews 11:6, tremendous verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. Proverbs 2 says, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for God gives wisdom. Asking, seeking, and then what about knocking? What can we think about knocking? Well, it implies going to where someone is. It implies asking to be admitted to their presence and having a relationship with them. It's personal. So, yes, we can profit from thinking about each of these individually, asking, seeking, and knocking. But we could also look at them as a package. And that's what I'd like to spend some time on this morning. When we look at all three of these as a package, asking, seeking, knocking, what do they imply? What do they teach us? What can we learn from looking at it as a unit? Well, as we look at these all together, they all imply desire. Desire. If you're asking for something, seeking something, knocking to get with someone, it means that there's something you want. There's some desire there. In fact, one of the leading contemporary Bible scholars, D.A. Carson, says, the prayer that Jesus envisions here in Matthew 7 is not an occasional pious request for some isolated blessing. It is, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, a burning pursuit of God. So asking, seeking, knocking is really desiring God. It's a passionate pursuit of God, saying, God, I need you for my life situations, our world situations. It's a burning pursuit of God. So, how much of God do you want? We look at all three of these together, it also implies some intensity. Intensity. If you're asking, seeking, and knocking, it means there's some drive in you. There's something that's driving you. You're not just going about life hoping that you stumble onto God's truth and wisdom and grace. No, you're intentionally going after it. It's not like, well, here I am, God knows where I am, and he can give me what I need. No, it's some drive, some intentionality to get with God, some intensity. One of the most well-known quotes from C.S. Lewis, and certainly my favorite from him, it just really catches us up short. It kind of slaps us out of our stupor when it says, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the gospel, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. far too easily pleased. We give up too soon. Not enough drive and intensity and desire. Finding the resources we need to live for Christ in this world and to be the person God wants us to be involves some intensity in asking, and seeking, and knocking. So asking, seeking, knocking, viewed as a package, implies desire, intensity. It also implies belief. Belief. Belief that God can and will provide what is needed. So, it's based on the belief that the God you're asking and the God whose door you're knocking on, the God who you're seeking, is the one who can provide what you need. So look again at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 7. Verse 9, Jesus says, "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, having this sin nature that we're bound by, that we're stuck with, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" Belief that God can and will provide what is needed. We ask, seek, and knock because we believe that God is a good Father. He's a good Father. Now, did your parents always give you everything you asked for? Or do you as a parent always give your children everything they ask for? Of course not. Because children don't always ask for the right things. The Calvin and Hobbes comic strip that isn't even made anymore, but it was my favorite. And there was one time at Christmas when Calvin's this impish little kid, he comes to his dad and he says, "Dad, can I get a flamethrower for Christmas?" His dad's like, "No, of course not." Calvin says, "Even if I promise to not use it in the house?" Children don't always ask for the right things. So, of course, a good and loving parent does not always give their child everything they ask for. Your child might ask for something they're not ready for yet. They might ask for something that would be harmful to them. They might ask for things that it's just not what you want for your family. Children do not always ask for the right things, and Christians do not always ask God for the right things. So, of course, a good and loving father will sometimes say yes and sometimes say no. That's being a good father. Because you love your child, you want what's best for them. You don't give them something harmful, even if they beg for it, but you do give them good things. So, how much of God do you want? God is a good father who will always give you good gifts. If you then, being evil, plagued with this sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? God invites you and me to join his family, to be part of the family. Our sins have separated us from God, but the blood of Jesus Christ reconciles us to God, and because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, God invites us to become part of his family by faith, by trusting in Jesus Christ. We become a part of the family, and then we can ask our good Father in heaven and know that he will give us good things. He's a good father. Now, verse 8 can sound like a blank check. You know, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. I mean, it sounds like, okay, whatever you ask, you get. But as we've said, because God is a good father, he does not always give his children what we ask for. He doesn't give foolish and hurtful and short-sighted things that we ask for. But he always gives good things. So let's take just a minute to review the truth about unanswered prayer, because this is something we all struggle with. You know, why do I ask God for things and it doesn't happen? Why do some people get answers to prayer and I don't seem to? We all struggle with these kinds of things. And sometimes we look at scripture like we're looking at today, ask and you'll receive, and we think, well, it didn't work for me, so there must be something wrong with me. Or, you know, maybe I just don't understand. I'm just not up to the level. I'm just not a major league prayer. So, you know, we just kind of give up and settle for a low level. So let's take a minute to review the truth about unanswered prayer. Because the truth is, God always answers prayer. Just not the way we are hoping for. So, for instance, we ask for something. If the request is wrong, God says no. I mean, he's a loving father. He's not going to give us something that's going to be bad for us. So if the request is wrong, God says no. If we're wrong, God says grow. Because sometimes we're not ready for what we're asking for, and we need to grow. So if the request is wrong, God says no. If we're wrong, God says grow. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. Just wait. No, grow, slow. But if the request is right, we're right, the timing is right, God says go. And we get these marvelous answers to prayer. So God always answers prayer, but differently than what we wanted. So keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. The principle and power of asking, seeking, knocking is based on the belief that God is a good father and that God is a good giver. He's a good giver. He gives good things to those who ask him. No stones instead of bread, no snakes instead of fish, something that would harm them. And in fact, in the Jewish community that Matthew was writing to, fish was a clean food to eat, but a snake was unclean. And so if this father gives him a snake, he's actually giving something that will spiritually defile his son. And he's saying, no good father is going to do that. God gives good things. He's a good giver. James 1:17, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down, cascading down like a waterfall from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. Like one day he'll give you this and the next day he won't. And, you know, one day this is what he wants and the next day. No, there's no shifting and no shadowiness. God is a good giver and a good father. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. That is God's plan for us to meet the demands of life and faith, and to become the person that God has called us and created us to be. So when you don't have the inner strength you need to live for God, ask, seek, knock. When you can't seem to quit worrying and quit being judgmental, ask, seek, knock. When you keep struggling with anger and lust and sacrificing yourself for others, ask, seek, knock. When you just can't seem to be the person God wants you to be, ask, seek, knock, because God is a good father who gives good gifts. So how much of God do you want? We have grave problems in our world. Jesus is the answer. You and I are the connection. How can we make that connection? Ask, seek, knock. An anonymous writer some decades ago wrote this: I asked for strength that I might achieve. He gave me weakness that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. He gave me grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. He withheld them that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. He gave me weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. He gave me life that I might enjoy all things. I received very few of the things I asked for, but everything I hoped for. So much of life comes down to how much do you trust God and how much do you want of God? How much do you trust God to be a good father and a good giver, and how much of His ways and wisdom do you want? There's a prayer that's been handed down from the 11th century that I'd commend to you this morning. It goes like this: O Lord our God, grant us grace to desire You with our whole heart, that so desiring we may seek and find You, and in so finding we may love You, and in loving You we may hate those sins from which You have redeemed us for the sake of Jesus Christ. God, give us the grace to desire You, so that in desiring we'll seek You, in seeking we'll find You, in finding You we'll love You, and in loving You we'll hate the sins from which You have redeemed us. So let's bow in prayer. And as we come to prayer this morning, what is it that you want from God, that you desire, that you're seeking, that you're knocking on His door so that He will give you what it is you want? What is it? Would you take this quiet moment to ask God once again for what you need for that situation? Purpose in your heart in this moment for how you're going to seek God in His Word and with His people. Maybe there's someone you need to share a problem with and say, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? That would be a way of seeking. Maybe there's something you just need to keep knocking on God's door about. So talk to God in this quiet moment. First of all, do you know that you're part of the family? And then, knowing that you're part of the family, ask Him, seek Him, knock on His door to bring God into your life situations. Lord God, thank You so much that You have made Yourself and Your resources available to us just by asking and seeking and knocking. God, I thank You that in Your wisdom You've determined that it's best for us that You not just dump it on us, but that we come asking and seeking and knocking. God, I pray that You would inflame our desire for You and fuel our seeking You and hear us as You've promised to when we knock, and You invite us in to share Your presence, Your wisdom, Your ways. God, we come this morning not just seeking individual answers to prayer, but we come seeking you, desiring you. Thank you for the truth and simplicity of the gospel, of your word. Thank you for showing and telling us so clearly how we can find your power and your peace just by asking, by seeking, by knocking. Thanks, God. And for all the life situations that have been brought up to you in prayer this morning by everyone here, God, we give them to you and trust you to do great and mighty things that we haven't even thought of. Thanks, God, for being a good father and a good giver. We trust you. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.